Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of God.
Yes, thank you, Willem, for reading the word. Okay. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Oh, it's not going up. Huh? There's always something happening. No signal. Not exactly sure what is happening. Technical difficulties. Sometimes we can solve it, sometimes we can't. But anyway, I feel like a sneeze coming up. All right. Once again, good morning. Blessed Lunar New Year to you. 感谢大家在大年初一的早上, 抽出时间 一起来敬拜、赞美、颂赞我们的主耶稣。 Sorry, yeah. 大家早上好，我是Jordan， 祝大家新年蒙恩，新年蒙福。I know we are not having a bilingual service this morning, just taking the opportunity of the Lunar New Year to greet everyone in Mandarin. 新年蒙恩,新年蒙福. You know, these are common greetings that we use, especially during this festive season. As Christians, our focus is not on wealth, prosperity, and success. So, over the years, over time, Christians around the world have kind of tweaked our festive greetings. So we don't say, 恭喜发财,生意兴隆, 事事顺利, and etc. Our focus is on the Lord's favor, the Lord's blessing, 蒙恩,蒙福, 恩, 恩典, can be also be translated as grace, to receive the grace and favor of God. And the grace of God is our main point this morning. Understanding God's grace, receiving, accepting God's grace. Let us pray before we continue. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for bringing us here this morning. It is by your grace that we can gather together. It is by your grace that we come. And it is by your grace that we can hear, we can read, we can understand your word, and we can receive you. By your grace, Lord, help us to hear you, to know you, and to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the year 1505, there was a young man who was riding his horse when a sudden lightning storm broke out. You know, there was a crack of thunder, boom, so loud that the horse reared up and threw the man to the ground. Frightened by what was happening out in the open, this young man cried out for divine help. You know, he promised to become a monk if he was saved. After the storm, he did become a monk. And as a monk, this young man studied the Word of God diligently. And as he learned more and more about the holiness, the righteousness of God, he was weighed down more and more by his own sinfulness, and he was tormented by the thought of God's judgment, of meeting with God and being found insufficient. And he knew he was not enough. And so, like many others during his time, he committed to extreme acts of penance to so-called pay for his sins. You know, he took long hours of fasting, long hours of praying. He walked long distances on his knees, and he even beat himself, all in the hope of cleansing himself from this guilt of sin, and to feel that he had done something, he had paid for his sins, and he finally deserved God's favor. But this sense of guilt only grew more and more. His hours of fasting and prayers just became longer and longer. Until he read Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You know, as he read, as he meditated on the verse, the weight and torment in his soul lifted. He would later record this experience. Night and day I pondered until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby, through grace and sheer mercy, he justifies us by faith. Therefore, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway into heaven. Now, the young man is Martin Luther, and I think he is not alone in feeling the weight and torment of sin in his life. The idea, the fear of meeting with God and being found insufficient. And in those days, the church taught that salvation was a gift that was dispensed, administered by the church, granted only to those who made appropriate devotion and service to the Lord. So what weighed upon Martin Luther and many others' mind and tormented them was often the question of whether they had done enough. Were they devoted enough? Had they done enough to deserve, to merit God's forgiveness? Had they done enough to deserve God's mercy? When Martin Luther finally understood the grace of God, it set him free from trying to earn God's grace. And it began what we know today as the Reformation of the Church, to change, to reform, and to tell the people of God that salvation is not by work. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. Now, the key points from the Reformation are the five solas. You know, we went through this before, so I'm going to go through quickly. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, and for the glory of God alone. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, and for the glory of God alone. Why I begin with this little bit of church history is because today's passage speaks of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And why is this important for us? Because all of us were once dead And we were caught in the lie of trying to work for our salvation, or caught in the lie that there is no need for salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us why we need God's mercy and grace. We were once dead in the trespasses and sins. Now, death is not the best topic for Lunar New Year. You know, the Chinese would be a taboo topic. But the Apostle Paul is not writing about the physical death we will face. He's not talking about the eternal death of separation from God. What Paul means here is that from the beginning, we were all born spiritually dead to God. We were all born spiritually dead to God. We were dead, we were insensitive, we had no ability, no desire to respond to God. A dead body, a corpse, will not, cannot respond to anyone or anything. So we were born dead spiritually. We were neither moving towards God nor having a hunger to know God. Now, some of us might have grown up believing that there is some form of higher being. I grew up that way. I grew up believing that there is some form of higher being. I didn't know who it was, what it was. But I had no relationship with the one true God because spiritually we were dead. There's no way I can find God on my own or know who God is on my own. And this can be seen also in how we lived in trespasses and sins. You know, in total disregard of law of God and His law. You know, we walked, we followed the course of this world, we followed the prince of the power of the air, and we lived in the passions of our flesh. Now, to look at the course of this world is to look at the culture, the lifestyle of this world we live in. Before we knew God, you know, we followed the world in chasing after success, results, wealth, prosperity, and health, and whatever it is that could have been your idol. We might have also followed the world, being preoccupied with self-autonomy, to be in control, self-love. You know, we want to embrace that freedom to choose what we want for ourselves, because nothing else was important except ourselves. If the world says it's good and right, and very likely we would agree that it is good and right. But that is wrong. That will be following the lies of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Now, to the Hebrews, especially during the Apostle Paul's days, Satan and his demons lived in the air. There's this spiritual dimension between heaven and earth. And from there, Satan has temporal rule over creation, after sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. And Satan's rule also extends to all who do not believe, who do not acknowledge God as personal Lord and Savior. So we must understand that those who do not believe in God, they are held bondage to Satan and to his lies. They are held bondage to the spirit that is even now at work in the sons of disobedience, pushing them, leading them towards disobedience. To the world, it might not seem as disobedience, but to God, it is disobedience. You know, the lie that began in the Garden of Eden, where Satan tempted Adam and Eve to question, to doubt what God had commanded, what God had promised. Did God actually say that? Did He really mean it? Does God really love you? Does He want the best for you? And because of that lie, Adam and Eve disobeyed. They disobeyed God. They became children of disobedience. And today, many continue to live in that disobedience. Now, to live in the passions of our flesh is also not just about our physical body, but our whole being as a person. You know, what we might call our human nature, our instinct. Before we knew God, I think we would quite naturally gravitate towards sin, as God defines it. We crave for self-autonomy, control, and we prefer to believe in the lies of Satan so we can do what we want. And without God, we would have looked at the world, and all its ways without thinking of them as sins. If you look at the world today, that is quite evident that there are many people like that. You know, we will be against anyone who talked about certain behaviors as sinful. We would say that it is natural, it is normal to behave in such a manner. You know, if you think of anyone struggling with addiction, think of any stories you might have heard of people living in sin. They deny, they argue, they normalize. To them, the behaviors are not wrong because they do not acknowledge God, they do not acknowledge His laws. So we were once dead to God and His laws. We could not understand what is holy, what is righteousness. We were dead. And therefore, we were fully deserving of God's anger, children of wrath, destined to receive God's judgment and anger because of sin, like the rest of mankind. Romans 3 tells us, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We were all spiritually dead, disconnected, separated from the Creator God, with no way to return to Him, no desire even to go to God. That is the bad news, the bleak situation that the Apostle Paul describes in the passage. The terrible situation all of mankind is in, spiritually dead in sin. But there is good news. The gospel message Apostle Paul brings is this. God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. But God being rich in mercy. After reminding these saints of Ephesus, the believers, that they were all once dead in sin, Paul now shares the good news of God's grace and reminds them, God is richer than any earthly kings. He owns everything you and I can set eyes on and much more beyond. And God is rich in mercy, much more than we can imagine, to the extent that the wrath we so rightfully deserve is taken upon by God Himself through Christ on the cross. Because of this great love with which He loved us, God made the choice. He made the decision to approach us, to draw us, to make us alive together with Christ. He chose us, predestined us, before we could even choose Him, know Him, acknowledge Him. Now, in the earlier chapter, in Ephesians 1, Paul wrote down the immense spiritual blessings that God has given to us in Christ. You know, Reverend Srimal explained that. And then how God worked in Christ, raising Him from the dead, seated Him in the heavenly places, putting all things under His feet. Here in chapter 2, Paul continues and says, God in His mercy, because of His love, by His grace, raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. It's a continuation of the theme of being raised from the dead, of being seated in the heavenly places. Jesus set the example. Jesus leads the way through the power of God. And through the power of God, we are made alive. From being spiritually dead, we are made alive. Can you imagine that? No, God not only raised us from death to life spiritually, but God raised us up with Christ to the heavenly places for a purpose. You know, it reminds me of the Valley of Dry Bones, you know, recorded in Ezekiel 37. Dry bones that has been left there for a long time, dried up. But the Spirit of the Lord showed the prophet Ezekiel in a vision that He can bring the bones to life. He can put breath into them. He can lay flesh and skin so that they live again. Even when the bones cannot respond, cannot reach out to God, God made the choice. God can do it. By God's word and spirit, the dry bones were raised to life, becoming an exceedingly great army to serve the Lord. In the same way, we who were spiritually dead was made alive by God's spirit through his word. And we too can become a great army serving the Lord. Why is it important that we be made alive? Well, there's God's redemption plan from the beginning to restore creation, to restore the relationship that was broken through Adam and Eve, to bring us back into awareness and acknowledgement of who he is. Sin and death came into the world when Adam and Eve chose to doubt, they chose to disobey God. But God, who is rich in mercy, from the beginning set out his redemption plan to redeem, to restore creation. Right from Genesis all through the Old Testament, we can read about how God fulfilled his plan, laid out his plan to redeem and restore creation. What was dead in sin will be made alive through God's grace. We have been raised from the dead spiritually, just as Jesus was raised from the dead physically. And just as Christ our Lord is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, we are seated with Christ. This is the greatest banquet you can imagine, the grandest feast we can attend. You know, the seats are reserved for us by Jesus at the great wedding feast. You know, maybe the marriage supper of the Lamb that is recorded in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. The marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a time where there will be a great feast in heaven. You and I have seats reserved there. It will be a time of great rejoicing, a time of great worship as Satan is defeated forever. And thanks be to God, our seats are reserved because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love. We are made alive, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, God will continue to show his kindness in the coming ages. He will continue to demonstrate his love, his mercy. He will continue to extend his grace through Jesus Christ. Now, there is this huge and dramatic contrast between being spiritually dead and being made alive by grace in Christ. Every Christian, every one of us here, every believer has experienced that change. You might remember your own experience, or you might have heard someone share about it. A time of darkness, a time where you could not overcome guilt, darkness, discouragement, disappointment, until you came to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, until you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, the truth is just as Paul repeats over and over, we are saved by grace alone. We are saved by grace alone. Our salvation is entirely God's merciful and costly gift. And it is something that we receive through faith. You know, similar to Christmas presents, even the red packet the children, the younger ones still receive. It is by grace that somebody gave something to you. You might have asked for it, but most likely you didn't do anything to receive it. You didn't have to work, you didn't have to labor in order to receive these presents. Our salvation begins with God's grace. Our salvation begins with God's grace, and it is by God's work that we can have faith to receive his salvation. If we had remained dead in sin, and we were not made alive, we would not be able to receive the gift. As I said earlier, a corpse, a body cannot hunger, cannot have desire. And then we would remain insensitive to God's good news. It can be a person standing beside speaking. It can be a loudspeaker. It can be a recorder repeating the gospel message over and over again. If we were dead spiritually, we would not respond. It would just be noise. You know, it would not be good news to those who are spiritually dead in sin, because they much rather follow Satan and the ways of the world. By grace, we have been saved through faith. We did not do anything. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. We are not automatically saved just because Jesus died and rose again. We are saved only when we can put our confidence, our trust, our faith in what God has gifted to us and through Jesus Christ. You know, it's like a bomb shelter. You know, very common in the HDB flats these days. It's also available at, you can also find it at some void decks, MRT stations. A bomb shelter. They are supposed to withstand a bomb, supposed to protect us. But knowing where it is will not save you during a war, during a bombing. You have to enter it, close the door, and trust that it will keep you safe. Or even the seat belts in the vehicle. You know, it is there to keep you safe. It is there inside the vehicle, front seats, back seat. It is available. People tell you that you have to put on your seat belt to keep yourself safe. But you have to put it on in order to actually keep yourself safe. You cannot say that you add an extra cushion, you hold on to something else. I just hold on to the seatbelt. It cannot keep you safe, no matter how strong you are. You have to put it on properly, correctly. Only then will you be safe. Only then can you tell others how safe and good it is. The passage talks about we boast not in our own doing, but in the gift of God's grace. We share, we sing, we worship because we trust in God's grace. We have experienced God's grace. You are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Wonderfully crafted work of God. Created anew in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, even though we cannot do anything to deserve God, even though our works cannot save or redeem us, as part of this redeemed creation, we must respond to God's grace with good works. We are not saved by them, but Apostle Paul tells us we are saved for them. We are saved so that we can do God's good work. While we cannot earn salvation, once we have it, it should be evident by a changed life. An abundant life that is sensitive to God, that hungers for God, that is pleasing to God, a life that is sanctified for God. So brothers and sisters, so church, let us stop thinking and living as if we can earn salvation. Let's stop believing that we have to do something in order to earn God's grace. Serving in a ministry is good. Serving in a ministry does not save you. But serving as an offering to thank the Lord is something pleasing to Him. Martin Luther did not stop serving God after grasping the truth that the righteousness of God is through grace and mercy, through God justifying us by faith. We should not stop doing God's good work. We should not stop serving just because salvation is by grace alone. We believe that we are safe. Service, evangelism, good works, compassion to the needy, all these are part of the good works God has prepared for us to do with Him, for Him. Today, will you rejoice in the life that God has given to you? Today, will you praise, will you give thanks? Will you resolve to serve Him as you understand, as you are reminded again that you have been saved through grace, by faith alone? Perhaps today, you are still struggling to believe in Jesus. If you are experiencing emptiness, darkness, experiencing death in your life, will you receive by faith what you have heard? That Jesus lived and died for you. That Jesus loves you. He redeems you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Will you receive by faith God's mercy, God's love, God's grace, and God's Spirit? Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. We will have been made alive in the Spirit, must continue to do what God calls us to do. Will you rejoice in what He has given to us? In this Lunar New Year, as we have these few days, visitation to friends, relatives, how can you show, how can you demonstrate this life that has been given to you? Can you share about how God is significant in your life? Will you share with your family members what God has done and how He has made you alive? Come, let us pray. Father Lord, we give thanks to you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for making us alive through your Spirit and drawing us near so we can know you. And I pray this morning that, Lord, your Spirit will lead us. Lead us to live a life evidenced by good works for you. Lead us to live a life that reflects your mercy and grace, that speaks of who you are. And I pray that we will remember, we will understand that there is nothing we can do to earn your salvation. There is nothing we need to do to earn your grace. We give thanks for your love and your mercy. Give thanks for your word. Watch over us, Lord, and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are saved by grace through faith, not a result of our work. So in gratitude, let's sing this song, Only Your Mercy, to remind all of ourselves God's grace given to us through Christ. Only your mercy, only your grace, only your Spirit brings us to faith. Oh, what a wonder that you chose us first, not by our merit, but your perfect word. Only your goodness, only your love, your pardon pour out in blood, your righteousness has changed for our sin. Oh, what a Savior, oh, what a friend, Jesus, we long to worship you. Shall we rise and sing it to the Lord?
Only your mercy, only your grace, only your Spirit. perfect words. Only your goodness, only your love, only your pardon for our England. Your righteousness has changed for our sin. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, what a friend! Jesus, we long to worship you and give you all glory and praise. All that you are, all that you have, we have received by faith.
For reminding us we are saved by grace through faith. Thank you for this wonderful gift given to us. And truly, in response to this wonderful gift, teach us to also share this good news to those around us who have yet to hear about you. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Very good morning to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and 新年 蒙恩. May God's grace be richly felt by you and your family in this Lunar New Year. Couple of announcements. Starting from this prayer meeting onwards, that means this January prayer meeting and so on, we have